Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy!
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Hurry,
who's
come and listen.
Author, bridge builder, motivational speaker, Mr. Richmond S. McCoy is an accomplished, nationally recognized entrepreneur and real estate executive. With over 24 years of diverse real estate transaction and investment experience, he has consummated more than $1.4 billion in real estate transactions. Mr. McCoy, through his community development efforts, created over 1,500 jobs for members of low to moderate income communities. He is the recipient of several noteworthy awards, including the National Brotherhood and Sisterhood Award, awarded by the National Conference of Christian and Jews Real Estate and Construction Industry Group. Voted Supplier of the Year by J.P. Morgan Chase, honored as Business Executive of the Year by Urban Bankers Coalition, awarded Outstanding Achievement in Business by 100 Black Men Incorporated, Mr. McCoy is an honorary doctorate recipient from Destiny Bible College.
Jakes this morning, and to Bishop Jakes, I consider it an honor and a privilege to be here. I was scheduled to be here about a month ago, and something came up. Has that ever happened to you? Something come up, and I had to decline, but the Lord opened the door that I could come back. In fact, at lunch, Lady Jakes mentioned to my wife that I had stood her up. And I thought, uh-oh, I gotta fix that. And then, of course, the Lord created an opportunity for me to be here today, and I'm delighted to be here today. We have the goods for you. My life's work is generational wealth. See, God looks at us on a generational basis. He deals with us in our bloodline of our families. And that's what I'm going to be speaking to you about. And God is looking for a generation that will actually move and be obedient to Him, so He can release to us, to our bloodline, the generational wealth that He has for us. Are you ready to receive it?
Yes.
It takes some work. It takes a commitment. It takes a change of life. And that's what I'm going to speak to you about today. I'm thrilled to be here today with my lovely wife, Anna. And she is looking good. She's looking really sharp today. And she just come off a fast. We were down ministering at Bishop Long's church about a month ago. And Anna went back and ministered on her own, and during that time they announced a fast, a 21-day fast, and my friend got caught up in the spirit and got into the fast. She lost 15 pounds. I saw Bishop Long, I said, thank you for giving me my teenage wife back. And she looked so good. And we've been very busy. We've recently moved in New York City into a new condominium. We were living in Manhattan. We live in two homes. We live in New York and also here in Dallas, and depending on what's happening in our life, that's where we are. I've been spending a lot of time in New York over the last few months raising $300 million in equity for our next real estate fund. That's my kind of my day job is what I do. So I've been there a lot. I haven't been able to be here in the house of worship, but I've been connected. But I'll give you something that crossed my mind, a peace of mind. See, God is looking for an obedient person. He's looking for honorable people, and I've worked very hard to live that life, and I spent a lot of time in New York alone. Now, that might be a challenge for some men in some areas, but I've been able to control my flesh in all those areas, and I'm an honorable husband. And it occurred to me as my wife was coming to help me pack, because I'm a terrible packer. I'm good at making money and doing business, but anything physical, keep me away from it. It's not my anointing. So my friend said, you know, she's going to come and pack. But I'll tell you the peace of mind that I had with my wife coming into our apartment in New York. I didn't have to worry about hiding any underwear. I didn't have to worry about another woman's hair or another woman's brush that might have been there. That peace of mind. See, in order for the Lord to move in your life, you have to have peace of mind. In order to have the Lord show up an anointing in your life and what you're doing, you must be prepared for all things at all times. And this whole area of financial responsibility and being blessed in life and this issue of generational wealth is a lot about preparation, being prepared and getting yourself into a position to move forward. Much of what we're going to teach you about today is in this book that we've written, Building Generational Wealth, and that's out here available to you. It's only $20. Also, my wife and I, one of the biggest tragedies that we've seen in the African-American community, and I'm a victim of it, is that many of us don't prepare financially for the next generation simply by buying insurance. My father was incredibly wealthy for his age group. He passed away in 1973 when he was 73 years old. My father had 10 children. I was number 9. Had me when he was 60. Praise God. So there's hope to a thing. All right? My father was an entrepreneur with a sixth grade education, accumulated a lot of wealth in his life, but no one had taught him the techniques and the concepts of passing on generational wealth. So he refused to buy insurance. He refused to create a will. So when he passed away, the estate was worth over $1 million, and there's something called estate taxes. Has anyone heard of that? The IRS has something called estate taxes where they come in and they claim 40% of the entire portfolio, and they want to get paid now. That means whatever's in place has to be liquidated, has to be cashed out. So my mom didn't have the business experience. At 56 years old, most of you women will be widowed. This is the reality. These are the facts. Okay? So my mom was in that situation. She didn't know how to deal with the real estate. She didn't know how to deal with the businesses. And within 5 years, we went to public housing. Now, being in public housing isn't the end of the day, but I'm here to tell you that that generational wealth, the fiscal part of generational wealth was not passed on to me. But some of the other aspects of generational wealth were. And that's what I'm going to speak to you about today. You have a piece of paper?
Okay.
Let me take you through this very quickly. We have an obligation to turn our hearts to our sons and daughters and pass on to them what we've learned. Our generation is the first generation that at least has had access to capital. The average income in the United States is $44,000. The average savings in the African-American community is $750 a year. That's the disconnect. And when people think of generational wealth, and they think of the money and the prosperity aspect of it, and your mind may be going here, it's these areas. It's stocks, it's real estate, cash, it's jewelry, artwork, businesses, relationships, and indeed peace of mind. These are the manifestations of generational wealth. I implore you, I do not suggest to you, I implore you to recognize that these are fruit of the following: integrity, vision, generosity, a heart of service, of love, of character, a passion for what you do. Teach our children passion for what they do. Whatever they do, do it with passion. The Lord will anoint passion. Wisdom, diligence, diligence in all that you do. Focus is a generational characteristic we can pass on to our children, the ability to focus. To be people of obedience, to be obedient to God and His laws and His instructions in our life, to be obedient in a family structure, to be obedient in our jobs, to be obedient in all these things. Today, what I'm going to spend my time is in teaching you some factual aspects of finance and these issues of generational wealth. Then I'm going to take part of the time and then I'm going to minister to you about the spirit of getting generational wealth, to be able to walk in the favor of the Lord so He can release to us what we want. Some of the other characteristics that are passed on are leadership, forgiveness, and faith. Those characteristics practiced consistently will absolutely produce the physical manifestation of generational wealth that we can move forward with. And God is looking for us to do that. You see, we're really predestined to win in life, aren't we? We're predestined. Jesus Christ is already in us. My wife and I just moved to New Jersey, and we moved out of Manhattan, so we had to get a car. So we went to look for a car, and we believe in buying pre-owned cars. But you know, one of the things you have to look out for, ladies, when you start spending money, you ever get that buying spirit on you? You let fear come up on you. You start taking that money out of your pocket. You make one investment. You make another one. It all comes on you. Next thing you know, you're buying, you're buying, and you're buying. Does that ever happen? Well, it happened to me. We bought this condominium in New Jersey, and I said, well, friend, now I can get a nice car because it's got a garage, and I can get it. And a friend of mine said that he had just gotten a lease on a brand new Mercedes, only $1,000 a month. And $1,000 a month is $500 a month less than the auto allowance I get from my job. They give me $1,500 a month for auto allowance. So I said, well, I deserve a nice new car. So I went up to that dealer, and I said, yeah, I want to lease that car. And give me that brand new car. It was a $90,000 Mercedes. And this car was incredible. It was my dream car. It talked to me and everything, you know. And I want to get the car, and then something came over me. We're riding around, and at the end of the year, we go out and teach JBAZ and promoting financial responsibility. And after 39 months of paying $1,000 a month, that's $40,000 gone down the tube. And I came to myself. I came back to myself. I said, I don't need to do this. And I said, no, I ain't going to lease nothing. I'm going to buy the car. We got good credit. Well, to buy the car. So during the course of the sale, the gentleman wasn't moving too quick, and we were moving for the furniture and all this stuff, and the man said, well, come back tomorrow. And I called him, and he was going on a trip, and I was going to buy the new car, and I made up my mind. Then my friend got hold to me. Friend, what's wrong with you? Why in the world would you spend $90,000 on a new car? You've never talked like that. You've never bought a new car like that. What's wrong with you? You can get a pre-owned car, the exact same car, for $40,000 less. Friend. And my friend broke through. That buying spirit come up off of me. She broke me down, and I knew when she did because I could feel the bondage come off of me. Then my friend took the next step. Because she went on the internet. She says, you go to sleep, sweetie. She's down here. You go to sleep. Because she was preaching last week at the Daystar conference. Did anyone see my friend there? Oh, my God. She was awesome. Off the hook, releasing people from bondage. That's another subject when she was talking about it. But it's real. And if anyone saw it, everything she said was true. Because she used some of our own personal experience. My friend always does that, Sarita. You know, it's like nothing's a secret. But the point I want to make is she went on the internet and she found the exact same car that was 4 years older for $40,000 less. And we now own it. Praise God. We are predestined to win. And this car has a card, a little black computer car. And you walk up to that car and stand next to it and the door opens. You stand next to Jesus, the door opens. Ha! You sit down in that seat, and there's this little button there that says start engine. Holy Ghost says push button, start engine. Get moving. Push the button, the car goes on. And then it has a GPS in it, and the woman speaks to you. You put in there about where you want to go. You put the code in there. It's like the Holy Ghost tells us where you want to go. See, the Lord speaks to us in three ways. Through people, through circumstances, and through our dreams. That's how the Lord communicates with us. Now, this GPS is a voice attached to it. So you put in the directions about where we want to go. And they give you how long it's going to take, how many miles. You want to go the superhighway, or you want to go the back roads? And we all know the back roads is where the pain and suffering is, right? And the Lord laid it out clear which way to go and how to handle ourselves, yes? There's no doubt in it. There's no transparencies in it. It's very clear. So you put in directions, and she tells you to go down here 10 miles and go that. Now, if you make a turn the wrong way, she says, turn around. You keep going, please turn around. Go back the other way. I'm going to relate this all back to your finance in a minute. Come back around. And then when you get halfway there, if you want to stop, there's an intermediate destination where you can stop. And this is how we have to live our life. We have to make plans and lay it out to where we want to get there. And then when you get to the end of this trip, a victory flag comes up. Praise God. It's the neatest thing. Now, one of the things that happened with this car, when I was going through the GPS, and I'm not technically very, very swift, but I was able to get up in there, I realized that there were some other destinations that were pre-programmed in that car. Why? Because it was pre-owned. See, many of us come into life with predestinations and concepts that we've been given about money, about God, about tithing, about how to act in life that are false. But if you hear them long enough, guess what? You think they're true. You run around living a life that's false. It will never produce any fruit because you're dealing with a lie. In the second part of my talk today, I'm going to really get into tithing because I have such a passion about that. I have such a burden on my heart for the Lord, for God's people to prosper and to live the empowered life that He wants us to live. And this area of tithing is so important in that. And the Lord has done just an incredible thing in our life with tithing. So I'm going to come back to that. So get ready. Okay? So I'm going to back off of that a minute, and I'm going to talk to you about your word and how your word is your currency. A good friend of mine, Kenny Lewis, just came back from the UK. He went over to Bishop Jake's conference over there, and it was a phenomenal success. And Bishop preached out of Deuteronomy 1 and has a thousandfold increase in all that we want to do. And it was a tremendous blessing for everyone who was there. But Kenny was sharing with me that he went over there and that his room cost him $700 a night. For like a Westin quality hotel, not a top hotel, but $700 a night. And the reason for that is that the U.S. dollar is devalued. See, the dollar in the U.K. now is worth only 70 cents, okay, because of the exchange rate. So I ask you, what is your exchange rate? What is your exchange rate in life? What does it cost you to conduct business? I'm going to tie it back to your word. Your word is your currency. It reflects in your cost of living and of doing business in life. It affects every area of your life. So Kenny was telling me, he says, Richmond, everything was so expensive over there, he had to come back and do some more real estate deals just to pay for the trip. But one of the things I meant to talk to you about was, so I was talking about the insurance. One of the things that Ann and I have done, we operate in corporate America. We've gone to AIG, which is the largest insurance company in the world, and negotiated extremely favorable terms for our people where you can get term insurance for $100 to $200 a year, $100,000 worth of insurance. Even if you have health challenges, you have to get it. My dad didn't do that. He left all of us at bay. Well, my dad did do the first part of that page I was teaching about generational wealth. He put all that in me, and all those character traits he put in me, in terms of integrity and passion and vision and being obedient, all of those have manifested all the generational fiscal wealth already in my life. Praise God. But he didn't position me for that, so I didn't have a running start. So we're trying to help you all prepare the next generation for a running start. So we talk about being a woman of your word is your currency. Your word equals your credit. We talk about credit card users. So many of us have credit cards today. It's amazing how much they're used. 52 million times a day, 2.2 million times an hour, 36,000 times a minute. Can you just imagine? 604 times a second, credit cards are swiped. I ask you, are you a swiper? Any swipers in the room? Come on now, give it up. You know you're a swiper. So this whole area of credit cards and your credit scores have a dramatic effect on your ability to live in the world system today and to prosper, is that your credit score affects everything that you do. It affects your ability when it comes to getting employment, auto insurance, home insurance. You go to get a mate. We have one of our mentees here today, Shauna, and she's going to be getting engaged soon. And I told her, I said, ask for his credit score. Yes? You want to know what you're getting into, right? It is what it is, but you want to know the truth. Now, my friend, when we got married, I didn't do that. See, I was a little unconscious. I was so much in love, I didn't ask my friend all that. And we got in there, and we bought our first house in New York City, and she says, well, you go ahead and put your name on that mortgage, friend. You go ahead, do just your name. I said, oh, okay. So I didn't know. It didn't come to me, but the Holy Ghost revealed everything. And I'm going out of town on a business trip, and I said, friend, here's the mortgage payment. Send it out. It's due in a couple of days.
Okay, friend.
I come back a week later. That mortgage payment is still on top of the counter. I said, friend, what in the world? I didn't have a stamp. I almost got physical. I got to admit, my friend didn't understand at the time how important it is to pay your bills on time. Now, she got a stamp now. My friend got a stamp in the bathroom. She got a stamp in the pocketbook. She got a stamp in the car. And now my friend has super prime credit.
over 700 points so she can get super prime rates on all that she does. It's a really important area. So what we want to do is to tell you how to increase your credit score. We all know we have a credit score. We don't know why is it good, why is it bad. You may pay on time, but your credit score may still be low, and no one will ever tell you, will they? So we're going to tell you that, share that information with you today. So 35% is how you pay your bills. Do you pay them on time? The other 30% is balance and burden. That's the amount of credit available on how much you use. What's that mean? If you have a Sears card and your limit is $3,000 and you're up to $2,900, that's your burden aspect. So if you want to increase your credit score when you're going to make a major purchase, you can go to the credit card company and ask them to increase your limit so your ratio will come down. Now, we do not recommend unsecured credit cards. There's two types of credit, secured credit and unsecured. Secured credit is like if you buy an automobile, that's secured credit. Unsecured are the credit cards with the furniture companies, it's the gas stations, it's the MasterCard, it's the Visa. All those aspects are what really are the most expensive, where you could never really catch up and actually paying it. The secured, so those are the ratios that they actually look at. That's the balance and the burden. 10% is based on new searches. That is if you're going out and you're looking to buy something and you're making all of these applications at once, that tells the credit reporting agencies that maybe you're in trouble. This person, you know, needs money. They're desperate. The best time to borrow money is when you don't need it. To get your credit line up, when you have a good job and you have some savings in the bank and you want to prepare yourself to make your major acquisition, you have to present yourself as credible and worthy and strong. So these are the specific things you need to do. The other 10% is the financial composition. That's installment debt versus the unsecured, and the balance is 15% of your credit history. That's how long have you had debt? When did you first start getting debt? So what is your history? Is there a debt to do? This week we bought a new car for our daughter who's 18, who just got accepted to Emory University in Atlanta, and we're really proud of her. And she got her SAT scores up from a 1030 to 1290 in 3 months, and she worked hard and she went and did it. And I promised her a new car, and when I kept my word, we bought her a new car. But what's important with Daryl, when she decided she wanted to go to college, and of course we wanted her to go to college, she was a daddy, is the money there? You know, how's it going to be paid for? Can we do this? I whipped out the Merrill Lynch account that has her full tuition in there for 4 years with her name on it. That's her college education. That's all that money can be used for. And I started saving for her for $500, $1,000 a month when she was 4 years old. And I asked her recently, Daryl, how did that make you feel when you saw that on there? She said, Daddy, it made me feel safe. She said, I felt excited. I knew I was going to college. So we owe it to our children to prepare them to go there. And all the money you put into a college account, there's no taxes on it in terms of when they come out, you just use only for college expenses, but it's something that we have to do. My father didn't do that for me. Okay, when I went to college, I drove a taxi at night. Praise God, he had a plan for me to be here today to help you. Amen. Pay your bills on time. 35% of the score is based on how well you pay your bills. You know, I pay my bills on time, before time, every time. What I do, what we Ann and I do, we pay a lot of our bills electronically. That way I get the flesh out of it. That flesh get hold to that money, I might see something. I may lose my focus. I might not be conscious. We do the same thing with our tithes, by the way. We pay our tithes electronically. So we know that our tithes are going into the storehouse so the Lord can continue to bless us and protect what we have. Yes? So we get it away from us. So paying those bills on time is extremely key. As an example, a single late payment 5 months ago could cost you 20 points. Now, these points add up. The difference between a 650 and a 750 on a mortgage could be 300 basis points. The difference between a 6% loan and a 9% loan. It's the difference between me having the ability to go out today to put down 5% on a $1 million investment property, and my appreciation on that investment is on $1 million, where someone with poor credit has to put down 20% cash, maybe on a $250,000 home, and their appreciation is on that amount instead of the larger amount. Are you feeling me yet? That's how you create passive income and generational wealth. So this issue of your word and your credit. So when you get that credit application, you sign a piece of paper, you buy a car. You know on the bottom it says, I do hereby acknowledge, I do breathe. You ever see that line? That's you giving your word. You're giving your word that you're going to pay that on time, every time. Now, here's the disconnect. We come in here in church. We put all this pressure on our pastors to help us prosper and help us succeed, and we're not keeping our word. We're saying you got American Express and MasterCard calling your house looking for Betty Smith or Joan Mitchell. And, well, you know, Joan isn't there, she never answers the calls. And, you know, that lady Joan, she doesn't pay her bills on time. And at the same time, we're talking to God about prospering us and blessing us. Do you see the connection? So we have to bring our word in alignment with our actions. And we do that, the Lord will just open up the doors for us. So paying the bills on time, extremely important. If you have a current late or unpaid, that could double, could be 40 points on your credit score. Remember, the range is from like 650 up to 850. That's the maximum. Pay your bills on time consistently. The next slide is on the balance and the burden. I went through that in terms of the ratios that you should have, and 10% is based on your new search for credit. Now, Ann and I, we just purchased a number of things, and she said, your credit is probably hurting a little bit right now, because we bought quite a few things within a period of a month with getting the new place and fixing it up. So we need to start to consciously repair that credit. So the reality is credit card debt is an all-time high, with the average being $8,000 per person. We also don't position ourselves for emergency cash. The main reason that people lose their homes in this country is because of illness. It's not because they don't want to pay the bill or something else happens. They go unconscious because of illness. So we need to prepare ourselves with cash that's set aside for at least 6 months of emergency cash. We have to prepare for this, because illness will come. It will come into your life, and you need to be prepared for it. The whole issue of disability insurance, it can be expensive, but it will protect you and your family, because we've seen a whole generation of a family wiped out because the bread earner had a stroke. And the whole family gets wiped out. The money they had for college savings gets cashed in to pay for the illness. They lose the home. A whole lifetime of prosperity is wiped out because they didn't prepare. So you have to take this time. We recognize that you ladies are the majority household leaders in our community. So it does fall on you. So you just need to prepare yourself and be conscious about it. Put that cash aside, and also to get the disability insurance, get the life insurance, so when you go home to be with our Father, that you are leaving something behind beyond just covering the burial expenses. This is not hard to do. I have, I'm in relationship with a Jewish family in New York City who is a very wealthy group of people. There is a $10 billion entity. And to see how their generation upon generation look after each other and how they prepare for each other is phenomenal. I mean, 75 years ago, one of the brothers, they had made so much money in real estate, he decided that for the rest of his life he was going to do one thing, and that was to give money away. And the rest of the family, the generations after them, have all benefited from that. And I decided to get into relationship with them to be in that downstream. Praise God. I want to learn that. We've just gone through a due diligence with a consultant who I'm in partnership with these people, and they want to invest $50 million with us. And the consultant was looking for the background on one of the family members. So a young man, he's my age, about 50 years old, Steve Fisher. And the consultant was trying to understand the man's background, his education, and where had he worked, and what had he done. He had a box that he had to fill out, right? You know how, like, people have boxes on us, they want to fill us out? And he was trying to figure out where this guy went to school and what's his work background, and was he's a fisher. What has he done his whole life? He's a fisher. It's like Solomon. He was David's son, right? That's all he had to be. It's so funny trying to explain to this guy, look, he's worth $10 billion. What has he had to be his whole life? He's had to be a fisher. Just like we need to be obedient children of God. That's all we need to do in order for the Lord to show up in our life and to create that generational wealth in our life. If we turn our hearts to our sons and daughters, that's what the Lord is looking for. See, we've gotten into the society where it's all about us. It's all about me. It's all about, you know, what can I do for myself at this time? God doesn't look at it that way. God looks at a day as 1,000 years. See, we need to change our focus in terms of where we are and where we're going. If we do that, the Lord will release to us and just connect. He's looking for somebody. He's seeking. He's looking for somebody to get in line with his obedience. Somebody to be honorable. In the prayer of Jabez, you're reading that book in 2 Chronicles, and it's in there, and it's going through all these different families, and the Bible stops. It says, then there was Jabez. And Jabez, he prayed to the God of Israel, Lord, bless me indeed, expand my territory, keep me from evil. Why did he say that? Keep him from evil so he wouldn't cause harm, so he could keep his peace of mind. See, if you keep your mind, you can continue to hear from the Holy Ghost. And he asked the Lord to expand his territory, to bless him indeed, and the Lord did. And it says, why? Because he was more honorable than his brothers. Praise God. So you got to ask yourself, are you more honorable? Because today, our credit score, unfortunately, has such a big impact on our ability to walk through life and do it. Very often, even when the Lord is positioned to bless us and give us a real estate investment opportunity or give us that great job or give us that terrific opportunity, if he says, well, wait, we got to check your credit. We go, oh, no. We're down there praying, Lord, remove that credit score. Lord, remove that default. Lord, help me from being that fraud. Lord, help me. It's too late. So you got to prepare yourself to win. Am I helping you? So the technology exists today called Score Advisor. If you go to my wife's website, womenactnow.com, you can actually get a personalized instruction on what you need to do with your own personal credit history, what bills you need to pay now in order to increase your score, what credit limit you need to get expanded to increase your score and to position yourself. We're talking about tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest difference based on your credit score. What do you think is the biggest expense you'll ever have in your life? Ma'am? House? Anybody else? A car? Anything else? Insurance? Okay. The biggest expense in your life is the interest you pay on your investments. It's the interest that you pay on your investments. So this whole issue of interest in your word and your credit is really important. And you can handle it. You can repair it. You can get it back in good shape. I used to have very bad credit. I didn't understand it. I had to learn. Now I have super prime credit. And when my partners came to me to invest and become a partner and the CEO of Urban America, I invest hundreds of millions of dollars a year of institutional money, of banks and pension funds and corporate entities. I invest their money in real estate. And they said, Richmond, you got the background, you got the experience, you got the track record, you have the relationships. Oh, by the way, can we check your credit? And they did, and came back, well, that man got a good word. He's got a good word in all that he does. We had a business opportunity last year with a very large institution to apply for a tax credit program with the federal government, and the company that we wanted to go with, everybody wanted to partner with them, and they were asking for a $100,000 letter of credit before they would let you become their partner. Sometimes you have to get someone to, like, sign a loan for you or something. It's that type of thing. And one of the guys on the other team says, well, wait a minute, isn't that Richmond McCoy's company? He said, yeah, that's Richmond McCoy. Well, if Richmond gets on the phone and gives us his word, that's good enough for us. So I saved our company $100,000 because I'm a person of my word. I am crazy about it. I am fierce about it. So I encourage you to do that and let the Lord show up in your life. Okay, let's talk about how to get out of debt. So I told you how the components are made up. Is this helpful to you? Okay, let's talk about it. All right, Richmond, this is great. We understand the score now. We'll go to the website. We'll get the information. We'll be able to use it. What do I do? How do I get my credit score up so I can move forward, so I can use my income that I'm getting from my job and get to a place where I don't have to rent a home anymore, that I can buy a home? You know, one of the things about real estate, people are funny. They live in these communities. Maybe they're not their greatest communities, but they're there. And they say, well, I would never buy a house there. I would never. I want a house up on the hill, and I need a backyard. And I'm going to do that. I wouldn't buy there. But they've been renting for 7 years. Why wouldn't you buy there? Enjoy the appreciation. Get the tax benefit. Invest. Get in the game. How do you get out of debt? When you get a raise, you get a bonus, take those money and pay off those high interest bills. Pay bi-monthly and refinance. We're still in a very low interest rate environment historically over the last 40 years. It's a tremendous time. If you have debt, refinance it. There's all kind of deals in the marketplace. How to get out of debt on a credit card. You want to get into a repayment plan. You want to pay off the highest cards first. Add the payment to the next card. If you can get it onto a lower rate card, go ahead and transfer it. Also become your own banker. We recognize you certainly need some type of credit card today to operate in the system. Last year, the credit card industry earned $91 billion. $43 billion of that was on fees. Fees, not late fees and all those other areas, not on the finance costs. So we need to wake up and understand what's going on in the financial system today. If you don't have a credit card, a 650 or above, you can't get a credit card today anyhow. So there's a whole class of people that are reduced to check cashing stores in Western Union in order to be able to accomplish their daily tasks. So these prepaid debit cards are really excellent. You can also negotiate with your creditors. You want to get a better interest rate, you know, call up your creditor. Say, you know what, Discover offered me 12%, you guys are charging me 18, what are we going to do? Okay, they want your business. Talk to them, speak to them, get yourself educated. You're going to go buy a car, get your loan before you go to the dealer. Don't sit there under that pressure when you're all intoxicated with the car and you're all excited. Go there, look, I got $12,000, I'm going to buy a car, what are we going to do? I got the money, we're going to negotiate and do it. Put yourself in a position to win, not to lose. Okay? Take the emotional part of it. There's a commercial on TV like that about a young couple about how they're going to go in there and they're going to negotiate the car. They go in there and lose their mind. You can refinance your car loan just like you can a house loan. Make extra payments. If your payment's $200 a month, send in $250 a month. That will reduce the amount of interest that you have over the period of time. You will not miss that money. Don't buy more than you need. Get a car that'll certainly suit your needs. Don't do like I almost did buying that new car. Consider a pre-owned car. Every time I get a car, my wife gives it away, so I don't know what to say. Came down here, her mom was in town. She says, friend, guess where your car is? We said, was it Mexico today? Friend, my friend just give away cars, you know? But we like to give, because the more we give, the more the Lord can give us. Just give. Give of your time. Give of yourself. Give of your possessions. Give of your tithes. Give. I'll give you a good testimony. Last year, I called a friend of mine. He was on my heart. He's down in Atlantic City. Lives down there with his wife. He said, Richmond, I'm going through a tough time. I'm getting a divorce, and I'm really struggling. I said, I'm coming to see you. 2 days later, I went down to visit with him, sat with him, and spent the whole weekend with him. And it helped him a lot. I've been through a divorce. And he shared with me that he had been in the billboard business. He's thinking about getting back in the business. He wanted to know if I would come into the business with him. He said, I'd give you 50% of all the revenue, Richmond, if you'll come into the business with me. 50%. I never understood the billboard business before. He had talked to me about it, but my ears were closed. See, when you're a tither, the Lord will open up your ears. You'll hear things you didn't hear before. You'll get information you didn't hear before. You'll be able to move. So Joe, I said, Joe, how much money? See, I'm in the business. I own shopping centers and office buildings. So when someone talked to me about billboards, you know, I said, well, I'm an institutional real estate. Billboards, what kind of business is that? That's not prestigious enough. He said, well, Richmond, these billboards will produce $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $50,000 a month in income. I said, oh, really? I got really interested, and a lot of the relationships that I have because I'm in the real estate business are the same ones you need to get the permits to build the boards. So Joe and I created a company called J. Rick Media, and we have 12 boards under permit and process right now to get done. That's going to be worth millions of dollars. The Lord blessed me. Why? Because I was willing to give. It wasn't convenient for me to give up my weekend and go down there and sit with him. I knew the pain and suffering that he was in, but I went there because I felt his heart. So you have to give. See, when we tithe, we're not just talking about money. It's about giving of your heart, giving of your time, giving of your wisdom to give. On the furniture part, you know, buy what you can afford. Furniture is actually pretty interesting. You can get that furniture. You don't have to pay for it for a year or two. That's fine, but make sure you pay it before that interest comes up because it's very, very punishing. And then finally, in terms of the financial stability, there's really four principles. So you got to be a person of your word. You have to act in the now. When your opportunity comes, move. Don't be an if only or what if person. If only I'd done that, or what if I'd done this? If only if I'd partnered with that person. If only, or what if I had taken that job? What if I hadn't have said that thing that I said to my boss? So pray and be conscious about what we do. And you have to act in the now. When an opportunity comes, move. Be in a position to move when that situation comes up. Ann and I bought a house up in Houston like that. She was up actually ministering to another friend of hers who was getting surgery. She ran into an old school teacher who was about to lose her house. She got behind on the payments, and she needed $15,000 to catch up on the payment. She signed the deed over to Anna. The house has $50,000 in equity. My friend said, "Fan, what should I do?" I said, "Move!" So we got that house. The Lord blessed us, and her teacher was able to sustain the house. Prepare for the rainy day. And then finally, 10-10-80. Save 10. Tithe 10 and live on 80. Work those principles, you're going to be okay. 10-10-80. See, no one ever teaches us any of this stuff, right? You find out through mistakes, and hopefully you don't get to such a point where your credit and your finances are so tore up that you can never, ever recover. In Proverbs 13:20, always talk about how the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. We all know that scripture. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? It's true, by the way. The beginning of that scripture talks about how a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that's what the Lord is looking for from us. He's looking for from us to be able to leave an inheritance for our children. So it's through our actions and what we do, how we behave, how we operate ourselves in our lives. Our children are looking at us and watching us. That's how they're learning their behavior. And then the Lord will put us in positions to go ahead and inherit wealth, and He'll protect what we do. In the area of tithing, in Malachi, the Lord, He actually commands us to what? To give 10% of our first fruit. He promises us that if we do, that He will open up the windows of heaven and the storehouse. It'll be overwhelming. He then talks about how He's going to protect us. He'll protect what we have. And that's true. I'll give you a personal testimony. I'm involved with some very high-level business people in New York and my real estate company. They're very powerful people who've done a lot of business over many, many years. They're tough people. They're fair, but they're tough. And we had a lot of success in our first real estate fund, and we're going to start a second one, and they wanted to renegotiate my deal, renegotiate it in a detrimental way for me, and take something that I had negotiated in the previous deal away. And I fought, and I fought for it, and it came down to the last minute. You ever get so mad you want to cuss and scream and stab and punch? You ever been there? Okay, that's why. And this went over for a course of months and months. They wanted to take away a lucrative severance package. So when I left the company, I would get X amount of dollars no matter what. They wanted to take it away. And they also wanted to bring on another partner into the company, and I had to reduce my interest in order to bring in the other partner. Are you following me? I had to give up what I had to go forward. And I didn't feel it was appropriate because I was the one doing all the work. I'm the one with the anointing. The Lord told me that. I'm the one with anointing. I'm the one that's able to understand the real estate deals, and people do business with me, and I raise the capital. I do all that. And they were taking all that. All right, you're the anointed one, but still we want to reduce you. You ever been there? You ever do all the work in your house, and they still want to take away? You ever do all the work in the house, you come home, no one does the dishes, no one does the lawn, no one pays their share of it. You ever been there? And you still have to serve, don't you? You still have to serve in excellence. You still have to show up. And that's where I was. And now all these voices, and went on for months, and I was in Psalms all summer long, just holding on. I remember being in here, Bishop was preaching a sermon, taking it by the throat. I went back, I was ready, I was like, all right, you want to fight, let's do it. My bishop told me to take it by the throat. I hold on to that message, I'm going back, I'm going to get what I need. I ain't taking this. You know who I am in God? They said, no, we ain't doing that, Richmond, no, we got to do this, everybody got to reduce, you got to do this, you got to do this. And I tell you, all the Christianity in me, down to the last second, I was so bad. I mean, the Holy Ghost stepped out of my body. He was ready to fight. All right? That's how it was. And I tried to break out. I tried every way possible. But the Lord would not release me. You know, you need that check in your spirit. See, as Christians, we live a rigid life. It's tough, isn't it? It's narrow. You got to walk this line. But there's advantages. We have such an advantage in the Holy Ghost. Because we can see what other people can't see. We can feel He will reveal things. But it's tough. Because that old man want to rise up and fight. See, living life is all about that old man and the new man. That's all Christianity is. In the book of Romans, that's all it's about. The old man and new man. Who's going to live today? Right? Who's going to live? You get to that place where the Spirit's living more, then you got something. But I'll tell you, this was the toughest thing I ever went through. I don't know how my wife stayed married to me, and she, my whining and complaining, and I did cuss a lot. I admit that. I remember it came down to the last day, the last board meeting, and I was going to go, guys, and it's going to blow this thing up. You know, without me, it's not going to go forward. And all. I didn't say that, but I knew that. I didn't say that. But I finally said, okay, all right, I'll go forward. I'll keep my current pay. I did keep my severance package, by the way. But I knew in my heart the deal they had in their mind was when and if that deal came, they were going to cut me. I knew that. I knew that in my spirit. I'll fight that battle later. But anyhow, the point is, so I went ahead with it. So it was the right thing to do. Brought in the new partners, these Fisher people I was telling you about. Wonderful people, incredible people. And what happened recently, we're out raising capital now from investors to go forward with the next fund, $300 million. And we were sitting with an investor we had never met with before, a large pension fund, and the top guy there says, Richmond, you're the top guy here. How much of the company do you own? And one of my partners was there, and I told him, he goes, that's not enough. We will not invest unless you have X amount. And that was double, more than double what I had before. Praise God. That was double for my trouble. The guys go back and they call up the other partners. The Fishers end up calling up my other partners, say, look, we don't believe we can get the company funded unless Richmond has X amount. And if he doesn't have X amount, we're pulling out. What they say? Okay. What do we need to do? And that was God. I was laughing. I was sitting up there. Boy, I jumped out of there. I said, hallelujah. Well, that was God. See, he fought the battle for me. He put the words in someone else's mouth. And that's what he will do for you if you're obedient. See, he'll just show up. You won't even know about those conversations. And he'll just show up and get a blessing. Why that happened? It's like Joe telling me, Richmond, you're in the billboard business with me now. I go, okay. Boom, just like that. So now I'm getting it in writing. Something you need to understand in any of your business relationships. If it ain't in writing, it ain't real. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a family member. My sister and I, we've been taking care of my mom for 15 years. I bought her 3 houses already and moved her to different parts of the country. The Lord has blessed us to have those finances. We're taking care of Anna's mom now and her father. The Lord, he wants us to honor our parents, doesn't he? So we've been doing that. And my other sister and her husband are caregivers for them. And they're down there dedicating their lives to taking care of my mom and brother who aren't well. And they're at a place of realizing they're getting a little older. They said, well, what about us? What's going to happen to us? When they passed away, where are we going to be? So my sister and I said, you know what? Let's give them 25% of the appreciation on that house that we bought that they're living in. And she says, okay. And she told them that. They go, okay, great. That's terrific. I said, put it in writing. She goes, why? I said, just put it in writing. And it changes the whole relationship. So don't be a co-signer on loans. Okay? Don't do that. Why in the world would you give someone else your name? Given everything I taught you here today, why would you do that? Why would you put yourself in a position and jeopardize your family's future by having somebody else mess up your credit? You got to protect that credit. It's like my daughter, she got that new car. I said, don't you let anybody drive that car. And that car is in her name now, so she can establish credit. It was funny. I said, Daryl, send me the coupon book. She goes, what's that? I said, that's important. We need to understand what that coupon book is. In the areas of tithing, he commands us, he challenges us, he promises us, and then he provides protection on what we have. See, we got to be grateful for what we have, not just about what more we want. See, this whole area of tithing is a generational curse. Less than 3% of Americans tithe. Now, I know in this church it's 100%, but let me just talk globally. And those of you who get pricked in the heart, let it be. This is my assignment in life. I wasn't always a tither. I was a tither if I went to church. Depending how good the praise and worship is would depend on my tithe. Okay? Come on, I'm real. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. I was worried about Bishop's jet, the car he was driving. Did you see what his wife was wearing? Did you see that jewelry she had on? That was my mind. Because somebody told me a long time ago that the ministers take all the money and they do this and do that. It's a lie. It don't have to do anything to do with the minister. It has to do with your relationship with God. If you want to tithe into an experience, you want to tithe into an honorable church, You want your bread cast upon many waters, and a night tithe into five different churches. But see, the tithe is between you and God. He wants to see if you can be honorable with 10 cents of a dollar. It's all he's asking for. Do you know if you don't tithe in Leviticus, if you don't tithe, you're penalized an additional 20%. That means 30% the Lord's going to take from you. I just shared with you how the Lord protected what I had. See, if I don't tithe, that means he's going to take 30%. One way or another, he's going to do it. Now, do I have one woman that can do some push-ups? Anybody, come on up here, lady. Come on up here. Get up on that stage and do some push-ups. I'm going to teach you something about this tithing and these generational curses. See, these generational curses that we hear about can be bad, and they can also be good curses. I stopped drinking in 1991. I got sick of being an alcoholic, sick of the hangovers, and I went to AA. I said, how do I get out of this? And they explained to me that I went to a meeting every day, I would stop drinking if I changed my behavior. I went to 3 meetings a day sometimes. Praise God, I haven't had a drink since 1991. I have no desire to drink. But one of the things that they taught me was that if and when I start drinking again, those symptoms that I had, the penalty that I had, the suffering that I had, the fruit that I had of that drinking would show up immediately as if I never stopped drinking. You see, these generational curses are the same way. These generational curses that our forefathers had have been building up. And when we come in and we practice the same behavior, okay, man, give me 10. These generational curses are at work right now in your life. They are working. They're getting stronger and stronger, and they're showing up in our life. And you're wondering why you're having all these problems. Why all this sickness? Why all this debt? Why all these financial problems? That generational curse is working right now, right now. Thank you. Victory. And what the Lord is looking for, the Lord is looking for somebody to come in and to break that curse. Somebody to get in line, because the minute you do, he will open up that heaven for you, and he will release into your life, in your bloodline, the generational blessings that those before you didn't do. So do not fall for the lie about tithing. You have no, this is not negotiable. You want to get this generational wealth I'm talking to you about, you're going to need more than one income, aren't you? You're going to need different opportunities. You need to position yourself. So this whole area is so fundamentally important. I struggled with it for years. I'm released from it now, and I don't take any chances. We send our tithe in electronically, because if my flesh get hold to that money, you know what's going to happen, right? So I want to leave you with that. Praise God for you. I have so much respect for you taking your time and your energy and your money to come here and invest this time in yourself. The Lord will bless you. He will bless your family. Take what you learn seriously. Put it into action. Bishop Jakes and Lady Jakes are such phenomenal people because they care about us. They want to see us to be equipped and to live the empowered Christian life. See, the Christian life is one to be empowered. That's where Jesus went to hell and got them keys to release us. Let's not lock ourselves up through ignorance. Let's be real. Let's give. Let's give. Look what Christ gave for us. He's all about giving. He gave his entire life for us. So the Lord wants us to reflect that. This is actually a story that was told to me by Norman Vincent Peale. Does anyone recognize that name? Power of Positive Thinking. And one of the things that I've done my entire life is read books. Read books about positive thinking. Read books about selling. Read books about speaking. All types. Just fill up my mind with information. And I was in his church in New York, and he told about this woman, what if and if only. She lived in the suburbs in the house. They had a big backyard, and her husband would go off to work and come home, and she'd be always kind of depressed and said, well, you know, what if you had a better job? You know, what if we had a bigger house? If only our child was an athlete, you know, he could earn some money for us and really do something. And, you know, what if this? And she spent all her time looking at her present condition. And what if and if only? And what if and if only? And one day the Lord must just moved on her heart and told her to eliminate that in her life. And the house was always a mess. Everything was tore up. Her husband come home to that environment, because this is where this woman was, in that negative place. You ever been there? You know, that what if and if only? If only I'd been born white. A lot of people think I am, but I'm not. Praise God. I should have told you that in the beginning. Y'all would have been released. Probably been trying to figure that out from the beginning. You know, what is he anyhow? All right. Anyhow, keeping it real. But the One day, the Spirit of the Lord got hold of this lady. She went out in the backyard and she made two crosses, big white crosses, and stood them in the ground. And she put on one, what if? And put on the other one, if only. And she came home and the house was clean, the music was on, her hair was done, her makeup was on, her husband came in. So what happened? She goes, I buried them. I buried that what if and if only. So I ask you, what if? And if only you were a person that kept your word. If only you were a person that time. If only you were the person in your bloodline that invested in the next generation. What if and if only? I dare you to do it. I dare you to try godness. I dare you to move in that area of your life. Thank you very much.
Mr. McCoy enjoys personal success as a son and father. Strives to be an excellent husband, leads with an articulate vision, a sought-after keynote industry and motivational speaker. He is available for both corporate and faith-based events. Call 877-565-0430 or visit richmondmccoy.com for booking information.
So we'll do a, we'll do that, and we'll plan the menu, and I'm just going, I'm going to lay it out. Who's going to get what? Who's going to have to do what? Leave him. Come on. Y'all want to go outside? We're gonna take one or two items. I know, but you, I know, if we were going to my parents' house, we wouldn't have to do nothing. But if they coming up here, I'm, yeah, we ain't doing that. I tell them. Trina provides some stuff, and Zelina provides some stuff, because everybody's going to cook.